Welcome to tonight's Citizens Climate University, a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobby that provides CCL supporters with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Cease, and tonight's topic is reframing, moving from resistance to support. Learn how to respond to others' resistance by tapping into their values and beliefs, then finding a more useful frame that allows others to join our cause. So tonight we're going to have the chance to practice some realistic scenarios that we face every day and to help prepare us for our meetings virtually with members of Congress. Thank you all for joining us. And first, a little bit about our speaker before I pass it to Steve to lead us tonight. Brown Steve Levin is an executive coach with 20 years experience in guiding leaders to have greater impact. His Powerful Conversations workshop trains leaders of change, like CCL volunteers, to break through the clutter of ordinary conversation and change the way people think about themselves and our policies in our government. He provides pro bono communications consulting with our action teams, including the business climate leaders and presenters and schedulers. And he recently co-developed and demonstrated, you might have seen him on our new introductory presentation this last summer for Citizens Climate University. He's got a BA and MA in organizational development from Yale and is a master certified coach with the International Coach Federation. Steve, it is an honor to have you on the line tonight, and we really look forward to having you walk us through your advice on reframing. The floor is yours.
All right. Thank you so much, Brett, and welcome everybody. Great to see everybody here, and I know that you're all excited about making a difference on Capitol Hill, whether you're going to the June lobby days virtually or have other opportunities to influence people. We all need ways to move people from whatever resistance they're feeling to supporting the direction that we're going in. I want to honor all of you for the work that you've been doing and are doing and will do to keep our movement going forward. So when I think about reframing, it's important to know that when they object, we connect. That's the CCL way. And that's the spirit behind this presentation. That no matter where someone is at, we can connect with them right where they are, meet them right there. And even if they go about casting blame, we can just reframe, redirect the conversation in a way that makes it easy for us to work together. It's so important that we find that frame. So let's take a look at our learning goals. We're going to understand the power and importance of reframing. I'll show you four simple steps to reframe easily and elegantly. And then you'll apply those to some examples that I have and to some scenarios that you may encounter this June or that are very current for this COVID-19 era. So let's get into it. First, what is reframing? And the way I think about reframing is that you have to find a way to bring a new perspective, a fresh perspective that opens up the conversation. It engages people to build a better future together. So basically, when you're stuck, that's when you need the new frame, something that gives more freedom and energy and momentum to the conversation so people can join together to figure out where do we go from here. And, you know, the frame is so important. We all have a frame we carry with us. We all have a perspective that we think is sure and right and true, but we need to be flexible. Like imagine you're on this desert island. You've been stranded there a while, and suddenly your hopes are realized. You see a boat in the distance. You think, man, I haven't made, until you see the other guy. He's going, land, I haven't made. Well, when they meet, they're going to find that they have very different perspectives on the same situation. And what do they do about that? What do you do when your perspective is different from that of a congressional staff member or a member of Congress? So, let's take a look at the power of reframing. And a favorite story of mine comes from a Midwestern city where people got along very well, even though they're quite diverse. Men and women, Republicans, Democrats, all ethnicities. It was very harmonious, except in the area of abortion and pro-life. This is where they went at each other with tooth and nail. There was so much conflict, with one side saying we have to ban all the abortions, the other side saying no way, we have to make them all legal. And the mayor of the city, the town council, they were split. The mayor finally said, look, I have to bring together the leaders of each side. Let's see if you can work this out. Well, There was no way to do that. There was so much bad blood between them. So he offered them a short training on reframing, much like this training right here, right now. And said, look, I'm going to give you this short training. I'm going to put you in a room. You have 3 hours to come up with some action steps that you can take together. So they rolled their eyes and said, well, let's give it a try. And in fact, despite all their differences, despite all the conflict, at the end of 2 hours, they came out with 8 action steps that they agreed to mutually support. 8 steps that neither of them thought was possible in the beginning. So how did they do it? How did they come to agreement when they'd been at loggerheads for so long? Well, in 2 hours, they didn't have time and they didn't do a detailed, thorough analysis of all the issues. It wasn't about being analytical. They also didn't say, well, let's do some team building, build relationships between ourselves. They didn't have time. They didn't have the inclination to do that. Nor did they get into heavy duty negotiations and compromise. So all these things that we normally do to try to work through problems, the analysis, the team building, the negotiations, they didn't do any of that. So what did they do? Well, instead of this, they listened more deeply. They connected around shared values and they found a better frame that they could both embrace to collaborate. So what could that have been? They were so opposed to each other before. How could they possibly have found a joint perspective that would work? And I wonder if you can guess. I wonder, go ahead and put it in the chat bar now, what would be a shared frame? And I'll give you a hint. It starts with, let's work together to what? What could they have come up with that would have allowed them to actually think together productively? And Madeline put it in there. So did Debbie. You're exactly right. Let's work together to prevent unwanted pregnancies. Now, neither group thought about that walking in. We have to ban abortions. We have to legalize abortions. No. But they came out with a shared goal that allowed them to come up with these shared steps. So how did they do that? How did they come up with this new frame when they were used to arguing with each other? Well, it turns out they did 4 simple things. And they listened more deeply to discover the values and concerns that are embedded in their views. Because when I share my view, I'm revealing what I care about, whether I realize it or not. Then they joined where they could. They looked for little hints, little aspects where you say, well, now that resonates for me. I have common ground there. And I can use your energy as a resource to move us forward. Next, I can propose a better frame. I can see what might be a question or an approach that we could embrace together based on our shared values and pointing towards the future. And then from that frame, we can go ahead and do what we at CCL do so well, engage in dialogue with mutual respect. So 4 simple steps. Let's take a look at some examples and see what this might look like. So imagine that you're talking to a member of Congress or a staff member, and they bring up an objection that's very timely for today's era. And maybe they say, look, COVID has broken our economy. Before I can even think about climate, we need to put millions of people back to work. Come back and see me in a few months. You're thinking, well, I'm not going to come back. I'm here now. And you might very reasonably say, but we urgently need to address climate change. And then you're clever. You say, because it's like a pandemic. We need to flatten the curve on emissions, just like we did on the pandemic. So you're thinking, common ground, flatten the curve. Are they going to buy that? They say, no. I'm working on our economy. That's what I care about. So this response, even though it might sound very reasonable, and it might work in some cases, might actually be rejected as not yet connecting with them. So what's an alternative? Well, what we have to do is look beneath the waterline. So imagine, you probably heard the idea that an iceberg shows only the tip above the waterline and most of the bulk is beneath the waterline. That's the way it is with these values They hide underneath the waterline. And if we can look for the values to affirm and propose a new frame, then we can come up with a more skillful response. So what might be the values underneath this objection? COVID has broken our economy. We have to put millions back to work. What do they care about? Again, go ahead and put in the chat any ideas that you might have. They care about, Brett said, jobs. They care about jobs. What else? I want to get the economy going, help the stock market. Right, prosperity, people's well-being. Now, notice jobs is not a value. That's a very specific strategy, but people's well-being, prosperity, health and safety, livelihood and well-being, so stimulating the economy, these are all values. So let's say that your response then is yes. And by the way, when you're affirming, you can always mentally or really start with yes. We absolutely need to repair our economy and ensure our resilience. Because that's what he cares about. Repair the economy, get back on track, ensure our resilience. Which then leads to the possibility of saying, so let's build back better for economic recovery and for improved health and resilience. Which then allows me to say, fortunately, our bill, HR 763, provides incentives for a healthier, cleaner energy economy while stimulating local prosperity. So now we've found a way to take their values of repairing the economy, resilience, building it into our frame, and coming up with a response that's more likely to produce some interest by them. Let's take a look at another example. Well, actually, let's see, how do these four steps apply? Well, we listen for their values, we joined around the economy, around the resilience, we proposed a frame, and we responded. Let's go ahead to a second example, a different objection. The Energy Innovation Act is going to hurt the U.S. economy despite all these border adjustments you talk about. Look, we need to make America great again. We need to win the race against these competing countries like China and India, not give them a free pass. We need to win in this competitive framework. Well, you might reasonably say, well, actually, the Energy Innovation Act is going to help our economy. It's going to add clean energy jobs, put dividend money in people's pockets. This is very reasonable to say, but it doesn't really address their concern about what? About competing. About America's greatness. So we need to somehow tap into that. Let's look beneath the waterline. What can we find? The Energy Innovation Act will hurt the US economy despite border. We need to make America great again, win the race. What do they care about here? I might say, yes. I always like saying yes. We need to ensure that this great country is winning as much benefit as possible. Why would we leave benefit on the table when we could win more, we could get more benefits? We deserve it in this great country. Then I might propose the frame. You know, the USA actually wins more benefits by getting other countries to follow us as we lead towards a low carbon future instead of going it alone. That allows me to introduce the idea that the Act's border adjustments actually do create trade pressure. So others will follow the U.S. leadership on climate. That's how the U.S. will benefit the most. As you're watching, you might notice there's something a little bit, call it skillful or stealthy. I don't think it's manipulative because I'm not hiding it. But you'll notice that I pick up on what they care about, use their means, their language, talk about this great country winning, getting as much benefit as possible. Then in the frame, I talk about the USA as a leader because we're a great country. We're going to lead the way and get other countries to follow us as though we're getting them to comply with us, which is going to appeal to their values. And then I could say, fortunately, our border adjustments will create the trade pressure so others follow our leadership on climate. Notice how the content of what I'm saying is not unreasonable for what I might have said before, but the language mirrors what they care about. Well, now we want to get you practicing. So I think it was Ray who said, you know, as a beginner, how do I do it? Let's practice. Let's all practice on this. We have a couple of scenarios for you to consider that we think are relevant and timely. And we're going to use our breakout group technology to have you come up with a few statements of values and frames and responses. So here's our basic framework. They raise an objection. We want to figure out, what do they care about? What would be a frame we could propose that would open the conversation, a fresh perspective? And then what's the response that we would say to them? So let's take a look at these two ideas. And remember, what we're doing, well, is working with their objection. So the first objection is this. Look, Congress is polarized. The Republicans are going to block everything we want. There's no hope. Let's just wait and hope for a better situation after November. Now, some of you might actually feel this way. There's a good case for forget about this now. But what could we do? How could we connect with their values? How could we respond in a way that moves the conversation forward? The second one that we can practice on comes from an alternative put forth by Republicans. It's called Republican Carbon Capture Legislation. And it's a package of bills where they plant 1 trillion trees, use tax incentives, and encourage innovation. And with that, they say, we don't need a burdensome carbon tax. And of course, we're happy to have anyone suggest anything that's going to help the climate, but this would fall far short of the Energy Innovation Act and our preferred strategy of having incentives in place. So we somehow need to address that while connecting their values. So remember, here's our framework. There's an objection. We listen for values, propose a frame and a response. Here are the two possible places where we can practice. And Brett, why don't you lay out our process to give people a chance to grapple with this in small groups? Yeah, and I want to emphasize that there's no one right answer for this. Again, we're guessing as to what they care about. And if we guess skillfully, we'll connect with them and they'll come with us. And if we guess a little bit off, they'll say no. And then we get to guess again, which is just great. So, you know, I thought about this a little bit and I came up with my own guesses. But let's see what you all came up with. So those of you who worked on scenario one, and that's around Congress is polarized, the Republicans are blocked. Let's wait and hope for a better situation. What does this person care about? They want a better situation. Yeah, they want progress. This person cares about progress. They want to be able to pass legislation. They want to make sure this can make a difference. They want success. So there's a lot of positive values that are embedded in this, even though they're expressing something with skepticism, maybe even cynicism, their underlying positive values are revealed, and that's what we want to affirm. Yes, you want a bipartisan solution, of course. We want to have a fruitful use of our time. These are great ideas. Any one of these would be a great opening statement to say, yes, you care about a great use of our time, moving together. So when I thought about this, I came up with the idea, it might be, yes, it's so important to stop knee-jerk polarization and get everyone finally moving together. Now, this is a twofer statement. They're objecting to how people are blocking and we're polarized, so I'm validating that. Yes, we have to stop that knee-jerk polarization, and we need to get everyone finally moving together. That leads to the frame. Fortunately, HR 763, the Energy Innovation Act, is getting increasing traction from unexpected places, like local leaders, businesses, and conservative voices. So we're pivoting on those values and saying, but there is some hope here. Then we say, by acting now, we build momentum to create more engagement on climate in this legislation and the next session too. We say, now is an opportunity, maybe not to score a home run, but to build our momentum so that we can do better in November and after November, addressing their original concern. Do you see how we're pulling out from them what they may care about? We're guessing, we're formulating a hypothesis, saying if we can get increasing traction, if we can go to unexpected places, If we can act now, we can build momentum. That's our pitch. Now is the time to build momentum rather than waiting and losing this opportunity. But we go to the second one. A Republican carbon capture legislation is plenty strong. Let's plant some trees, use tax incentives, encourage innovation. We don't need a burdensome carbon tax. How many of you worked on this? Just raise your hand, your physical hand. I see a couple there. Right, you take a look, great. So what were some of the values that you came up with and the frames? How did you respond to this?
We got some in the chat here on innovation, independence, and initiative, a multi-pronged approach. Affirmation, we also want to encourage innovation. This is something we want, that we all want.
Great. So you're picking up on what they care about, and you're saying, yes, it's great that you're already thinking in this direction. And so what would be a frame that would allow us to address this? George said, we need a larger effort. See, they're already pointing to an effort that's pretty good. How can we make that effort even larger? How can we get even more benefit from it? What would be the best way to achieve what you're talking about? So when I thought about this, I picked up on this idea. It's great to see almost everyone acknowledges now the need to address climate change fast and effectively. That's wonderful. So the fact that Republicans have put forth legislation, even if it's not our preferred solution, is something that we're going to affirm and join them on. Wonderful that everyone now is, just about everyone, is really acknowledging the need to address this. That's terrific. And we have to do it fast and effectively. We're beginning to pull in the same direction. Notice instead of opposing what they're saying, we're joining with them and saying, look how we're already moving towards the same goal. We have this shared perspective. Then we pivot and say, so the question is, which solutions will deliver the greatest relief from climate change impacts in a way that fits your values and mine at the least cost and the least government intrusion? Now, here we're picking up on their objection of a burdensome carbon tax, saying, uh-oh, I could see that they're concerned that this is going to be a heavy-handed government program. So I better propose a frame that looks for being fully effective, not costing too much, and not having the government intrude. And Leslie said in the chat, well, the Energy Innovation Act won't be burdensome. It'll put money in people's pockets. And you can see the response that I have on this slide is, yeah, the Energy Innovation Act actually uses market incentives. So businesses and consumers will freely innovate. They had talked about encouraging innovation. I'm picking up on that. Towards a lower carbon future. I might also add, it'll put money in people's pockets and help us with the prosperity that we all want. So let's look at these four steps again. Listen more deeply. Hear the values that are embedded in their views. Join something that they've said. Use that as momentum. Use their energy as a resource. Propose a question or an idea that opens the conversation, and then engage in the dialogue. Because for those of you looking for the formula, it's not exactly a recipe, but it is a set of principles. When you listen to what people say and beneath the waterline, their values and concerns are there waiting for you to recognize. And then find something where you can say, yes, use their energy and join them. And then look with them and say, I wonder how we could give people more free choice. I wonder how we could restore prosperity. Here's a way. The Energy Innovation Act might open the door for that. What do you think? So I want to take us back to our original scenario. You remember these guys who came at the same situation from different frames. One was hoping to be rescued by a boat, and the other was hoping to finally find land. And when they get together, they find we don't have a shared frame at all. Can reframing help them? Is there any shared frame that they could have? Well, they got together. They happened to have gone to this training. They had some dialogue. and they came up with a shared frame. Finally, companionship. And that's the win-win that they found. So even when you're stuck on a desert island or in a rowboat, maybe you can find a new frame to move you into the future. So Brett, I'll turn it back to you to finish the poll if you like and to wrap it up.
So I know I speak for all 30 of us on the line, Steve, when we say how grateful we are for you sharing this really helpful framework. Again, like you and many have highlighted tonight, it isn't something that might come naturally to some of us. And so it takes practice. And let's get out there and keep dancing, everyone. I'm going to unmute all lines so that we can sign off together. And we really are grateful for you making the time to practice with us tonight. We look forward to hearing what you find useful and how you're using this in your own meetings, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Steve.
Thank you. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.